internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler. And each week we rotate through different growth strategies, locations, and industries. You know, and it's a peer-to-peer program. It's not meant for everybody. The startups, I've gotten a couple of emails recently with, you know, startups and solo companies that are working in their home and have no intention of hiring employees complaining that, you know, that we've gotten too advanced. And it's like, no, wait a minute, let me remind you, this is a peer-to-peer-to-peer program for mid-sized companies. The host, the guests, and the listeners are presidents and CEOs of mid-sized companies, typically between 20 and 200 million, and the types that are going after $1 billion. And one of the reasons for that is that there's so many radio programs, TV programs, online programs, books, courses, et cetera, for the micro-sized companies, and the big companies have the resources, et cetera, and that middle often gets taken for granted, and it's some of the most innovative things, some of the best job creation. Some of the most important places for the economy is in the middle, and they don't have a place that is their own peer-to-peer-to-peer. So I'm going to stay pretty stubborn, too. We're going to focus on the 20 to 200 million. And I find every time we try to tailor it down or et cetera, or try to explain things like what's an acquisition, I lose a bunch of the audience. And I have about 185,000 people logging on because we're obsessed with the middle. So I don't think I'm going to change that. I appreciate the suggestions, but I think you got to go find another program. I know that sounds harsh, but really, we're going to stay focused. So with that as an opener, the today's I know it sounds funny. I feel like I'm a little one, you know, Howard Stern when I talk like that. Anyway, today what we're talking about is how do you do successful international expansion through strategic partnering? See what I mean? In a little tiny company that's never going to want to hire anybody and stays really micro isn't necessarily going to have the same questions as someone looking for true international expansion. And so I have two guests online today for my program, and we're going to start with Vin Izzy. Vin, you there?
Yes, I am, Aldana.
So normally I open up the program with just, you know, like a teleseminar for me talking about four or five secrets to success with the growth strategy of the week. And this time I would like to have Vin share that segment with me. And I met Vin through his role in IBM. How long were you at IBM?
Just under 15 years, Aldana.
Long time, yeah. Well, yeah, he brought me in as the lead instructor for the Presidents and Owners program for IBM. I was very honored to do that. I mean, picture what that is like with executive education, where you have a three-day course, and it's on how to grow your business, and it's for the 2,500 business partners they have worldwide. And so you have somebody who owns a business who's from Israel sitting next to somebody who has a business from Saudi Arabia, sitting next to somebody who owns a business in Russia, sitting next to somebody from Canada. You get it? I mean, business and being in the middle is the great equalizers. You couldn't tell anybody's politics or religion when we're talking like that. So I got a chance to share that experience with Vin, and I've seen him at the Lotus-related programs. And he's just a really neat guy that knows exactly how to help the business partners. So, Vin, what are you doing these days?
Well, Aldana, I started my own independent consulting firm. It's called Izzy Business Consulting. And what I'm focused in right now is the area of relationship management, specifically in the area of how to form and execute strategic alliances and partnerships. And that's what I've done, as you referenced, through most of my career at IBM. I've been working with a number of small business partners, similar to the size that you're talking about, that sweet spot between 20 million and 200 million, and working with them specifically in the area of helping them to work not only with smaller companies like themselves, but also with larger companies, and to really execute that strategy.
I'm glad you didn't walk away from that, because that's what you're good at. I mean, you really get that, and not everybody does. You know, they get lost maybe in the accounting, or they get lost in maybe the marketing program, but the relationship's what kills strategic alliances that I've seen. For those of you who haven't listened to the program before, I've had 38 years of experience, won a couple dozen Entrepreneur of the Year awards on a national scale myself. But I'm known as the growth strategist because I really like to help companies go for truly accelerated growth, you know, like tripling and quadrupling and such. And strategic partnering is one of the most important ways to do that. So, you know, Vin, let's talk about some of the experiences that you and I have seen. You know, when you think through the word strategic partnering, what do you include in that phrase? What are you talking about?
Well, what I'm talking about is specifically, is it really a strategic relationship where together you can do more business on your own than you could separately? One of the key things about partnering just in general is that if you could do it on your own, then why would you do it with somebody else? It's a very challenging area that you need to focus in on, and that's why the whole relationship management from end to end is very key. You can also do partnerships, tactically, where you're buying somebody's product and you're and things like that, more transactional. But what we're talking about here is really the focus of strategic alliances and partnership, where you're in it together to provide, tremendous value to your clients, and that together you can work it through such that whether it's a product or service or a combination of both, that the power of 2, 3, 4 or multiple partners can really drive more business for all of you.
Are you really talking about a joint venture?
A joint venture is part of it. I work with a it is part of it, but that's usually one level above a strategic partnership and alliance. Typically, in some of these cases, you find that the legal entity of a joint venture may be a better overall approach. But generally, those things that evolve over time from a strategic alliance or partnership that you may decide
like
to join forces together.
It's
may
like
be
a continuum.
The way
the strategic alliance seems to become somewhat fuzzy, and if things get a little rough and it's not fun, you can put your one foot out of the door and you're gone. And by a joint venture, you have enough lawyers involved that you can't feel like you can get out of it, and strategic partnering seems to have more negotiation room.
Well, absolutely, and like I said, one isn't necessarily something you need to do versus another. I think what you really need to do in everything, and as these business owners know out there, you've got to pick the one that fits you the best in terms of what your strategic alliances, strategic objectives are,
yeah,
as to whether either one of those approaches will work best for you.
Now, you've had experience with really large companies partnering with some distributors and smaller businesses. And that's got its own feel. In your experience, is it usually the IBMs of the world that seek the smaller company, or the other way around?
In the IBM model, it was a combination of both. They have both the very large strategic alliance partners, and then they also have the smaller alliance partners. And in balancing that off, the smaller alliance partners, they recognize that they have a very unique relationship with many of their customers and can reach particularly into small and medium business because they've got those relationships, know how to work with those companies, and that gives us another channel, another way to reach that customer. And that's why we, from an IBM perspective, really value smaller companies, because they help us to get to places where we can't get to. And they can, quite frankly, often talk more about it from their perspective, because they're a small business themselves.
Yeah, they might understand the customer base or the technology application or the geography, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Now, one of the things I've noticed from the clients that I've dealt with that have been in partnering relationships, they'll come back and they'll say, boy, I sure am glad we were thinking big, because to negotiate with a large corporation, it takes multiple meetings, a ton of money, your marketing budget's going to have to go up another 50% just to play. Is that cynical, or is that true?
There's definitely a big investment when you're working with a large company. As an example, I was working with IBM and one of their alliance partners who was overseas. Actually, they were a company out of the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we found from that experience was that while they really had focused in on where they were going to go to market, there were some specific issues that they needed to address, and then they realized that they had to dedicate much, much more time to working that through, because in a larger company, as much as they want to make you believe that they're nimble and easy,
no, they're not.
They're
That's
just not.
Now, let's be specific, okay? Let's say somebody wants to be a strategic partner with an IBM, right? Because that's
right.
Where a lot of your experience is. Are we talking you've got to pony up $50,000, or is it $500,000 for the time and the negotiations and the lawyers and the accountants and such? What's the ballpark of what they're going to
have? The ballpark can be in that range. The partner that I was referencing overseas, they had put in a substantial investment several hundred thousand, because the investment was not just in, the marketing and all that. The investment was in just doing the development work.
Exactly.
To get that platform integrated into the suite that they were on the sweet spot in the market that they were they were jointly going together. And then what happens is they also had to make some strategic bets that they were going to be able to shift the buying behavior of the client because they were moving towards a say a newer technology as an example, a new platform that was going to streamline, you know, the business operation. However, like anything else, you get into the situation where, okay, they've made that shift, and then will the clients, customers, move as quickly? Will the adoption rate, or will they continue to use the products and services that they already have?
Now we're going to get. I have a guest that's joining us in a few minutes that talks about very specific examples of this, and we're all excited about that.
Yes.
We have how do you implement SAP on a mobile device, and how do you do online payments in a whole new way, and how do you have deal with car financing on an international scale? Isn't that cool? I mean, those are worth the time and effort that goes into a strategic alliance, a strategic partnering. Okay,
yeah,
now
and
here's
that,
my question to you, Vin. Now think about this.
Yeah.
How do you do the due diligence? I mean, it sounds like you could lose a whole year just analyzing, will your potential partner be okay? What's the process of due diligence like?
Yes, the due diligence process and focusing in on it. A couple of the questions that come to mind are, how long does it take? Depending upon the complexity of the partnership, particularly small partners working with large partners, it could take anywhere from 3 to 6 months, and it can be a significant investment, not only in the, from a dollar standpoint, but from a people standpoint. And, you know, in terms of the...
Do you involve, like, accountants, attorneys,
the
production department? Who does this?
The first thing that I do is I want the key players in here who are going to be driving this relationship being part of the meeting. Now, it depends upon the size of the company, but typically in the smaller companies, I actually see that I want the top executives in the firm being focused in on this on both sides.
So and the reason you in to facilitate this process? Is that the role you're
to facilitate it, and also the other frustration is the decision-making process. What I've seen on both sides is that one person's decision-maker and the other person says, well, I need to go and talk to three levels up in the organization in order to even move it from the discussion they're already having about where they can bring products to market. So
I had an alliance one time with one of the large telecommunications companies, and they would have something called a single point of contact as the committee with 13 people.
Well,
that was their image of single point of contact.
Yes, I ran into the same issue when I was working with a telecommunications company in the UK that was trying to work with the smaller companies. That there really wasn't a clear single point of contact. However, the key criteria is making sure there are decision makers on both sides and also making sure that both of them understand through the course of the conversation, you know, where they can make decisions and where they may need to go up the chain in order to work through the issues.
One of the points is that there needs to be a key facilitator that can keep the process moving, you know, keep the analysis, spell out the steps so that people don't get bogged down. Because if they haven't done the due diligence about each other, then add on that the regulations are going to change, the cultural issues they're going to run into, the technology is moving fast, the economy is changing, they have kind of unexpressed expectations. You got a lot of stuff that's going to change once you say go. If they're all lost in their own negotiations with each other, they couldn't handle that.
They couldn't handle it, and the other side of it is who is going to manage this relationship as well, and how far down the organization it's going to be set. What I've seen, in some cases, the small partner thinks, well, the large company is going to help me go to market with my products, and all of a sudden, magically, I'm going to see, you know, $10, $20 million over the next 3 to 5 years. And what they don't realize is that they've got to make an investment in training and getting out there and talking to people and identifying how they're going to work with this larger company. Otherwise, they're going to get caught in the bureaucracy and nothing may happen. They may think something's going to happen, wait for orders to come in, and they're not going to happen.
When you're facilitating, you know, a strategic partnership, are you on the phone, you know, like all day, every day for 6 months?
No, you're not on the phone. Basically, what you're doing is you're structuring the business. You know, you asked about attorneys and everything. What the first session, the sessions I do, what we're talking about is the business issues. what are they going to do together? How are they going to do it? What are the roles and responsibilities of each partner? Okay. And those kinds of things. And then we develop an action plan specifically, and what are we going to do in the next 30 days? What are we going to do in the next 60 days? What are we going to do in the next 90 days? Each side specifically identifies the key issues that they're going to address in order to move the partnership forward. And that's an early warning system for both parties, because if one party starts to fall down on what they say they're going to do within that time frame, then that may be a signal
I like that
there may be future problems.
I like that. There's stages. That's the meaning of stages. We're going to take a break, and then I'm going to come back. And I had asked Vin to give us an example of a person that was living this, and so we're going to introduce Fernando Neves because he's lived through this. So we're going to take a break. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We will be right back with Growing Internationally Through Strategic Partnering.
From the stock market floor to your laptop, we are Voice America Business.
I'm Paul Hopkins, CEO of Farmers Insurance, and a proud sponsor of March of Dimes' premier walking event, March for Babies, formerly known as Walk America. More babies began healthy lives because of March of Dimes' research and programs. And with farmers' support, we can do even more for families all over America. One day, all babies will be born healthy, but we have to walk to get there. Join the March for Babies. Sign up at marchforbabies.org.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about expanding internationally through strategic partnering. And I have two guests today. Vin Izzi has been on for a few minutes with me in the beginning part of the program because Vin's had all this experience with IBM and other companies, you know, facilitating and making sure their relationships make sense. And then I've experienced what I call my six iced teas. I really find that there's six major meetings that people have to negotiate billion-dollar deals. And if they, you know, if they look at a divergent thinking first about what's possible, why are we doing this, what's even out there, then convergent around, you know, what are two or three possibilities, and then they eliminate the things that are going to get them into trouble, so they focus on a possible approach. Then they go back to divergent about who else do we need, what kind of resources do we need, do we need the attorney, do we need the accountant, you know, let's expand the thinking about how big it could be. Then go back down to convergent about the details of the execution, that, you know, like what do we doing this quarter, et cetera, et cetera. I find that alternative thinking, alternate back and forth, disciplines people when they're in negotiations. So that kind of experience, just think about it. If it's going beyond six major meetings before you can get a signed deal, you're probably going to have a hard time being partners because you can't make up your mind enough, fast enough, to keep up with regulations, cultural issues, technology, economy, and expectations. Think about it. If you can't do those six meetings pretty close in, you know, a couple of months, you're going to be in trouble later on anyway. So, that being said, Fernando Neves, tell me the name of your company.
Well, my company in Brazil is, the name is Gaia, but I also work for several other companies in the position of being president or being in charge of their operations in Brazil.
That's pretty exciting. I mean, you know, you've gotten into the strategic partnering things, and so you have a number of examples of what you've done. And during our rehearsal call, I got so excited about a couple of them. Can I start with, you know, the idea that, let's say you've cut a deal with somebody. You think that the core organizations are a good fit. You've done the due diligence, and you've invited someone like Vin to help. All right, but let's say, you know, you're working with a changing technology or something going on with the economy. I'll give an example. The highest amount of sales of cars ever in Brazil is now. So
yeah.
wouldn't this be a good time to do some kind of strategic partnering related to that?
Yes, because as you pointed previously, especially with Vin, there comes the exciting moment after all the due diligence, let's say that companies pass the six meetings and, okay, now you're in business. Yeah. Let's go internationally. Good time to go. But then things change in the economy. For example, in that particular case of selling cars, the highest amount of cars sold ever in the history of Brazil is right now.
Which is
and
amazing.
That's very unusual. Mm-hmm. What happened is the way people are financing the cars and the incentives that government is giving to people to acquire cars mm-hmm. is very, very attractive.
Yeah.
That alone doesn't solve the problem, so we use a very basic technology that's registered email to help solve the problem of physical documents being sent back and forth for the approval of the financing. So that alone represents a huge saving in time and costs for the process.
So you're talking about an alliance that was around process improvement, right?
Yes.
So who
yes,
was involved? Which companies are you talking about?
It's RPost, R-P-O-S-T, mm-hmm. and they provide register email that allows the physical document that normally has the process in paper to be transformed into electronic contracts to be signed, and that represents alone in the entire process we are able to save. Before we had a problem that will go around 2 to 3 weeks to have approval of everything and have all the documentation in place, that can be made in a couple of days right now. So
this is what Vin was saying, you know, that if you're going to do a strategic partnership, go do something in a big enough way where you truly need each other. Yes. Now, explain to me, who's the strategic partner for our post? Who else is involved?
Oh, in that sense are the BPOs, that's the business process outsourcing companies, that
okay.
are the ones that have they are the custodians of the documents for the banks.
Okay.
So those are the alliances that allow the banks and the financial system in Brazil mm-hmm. to take advantage of that particular technology.
All right, so now this is a good example of what Vin was talking about. If you've done some real due diligence about yourself, you might know what kind of regulations are involved, what kind of cultural issues are, you know, are you expecting, what technology you're going to lead with, you know, what's going on with the economy, and are they really forthcoming about their expectations and why they're in the deal. You could have that all spelled out, but I also can hear it's a dynamic situation. You know, the regulations are changing, the economy is shifting, the banks are, you know, changing their minds. Has it been all done the same way you thought it was, or did you have to shift and change it as you went?
Oh, yeah, that's another good example. For example, the other company, Payment One, very large implementations in the U.S., going very well in Mexico and as well as in the U.K. However, when we tried to launch and everything was done and ready, it was not a problem of the partnership by itself, but as you were mentioning, a change and a shift in regulatory marks and rules of the game, if you want. Mm-hmm. So everything is ready to go. However, Brazilian economy is in a very peculiar situation, so the interest rates were increased a lot.
Yeah.
And then Payment One produces a way that allow people to buy on the internet and charge to their phone bill. So they will pay the, via the phone bill to the telcos.
Mm-hmm.
What happened is the way the regulatory change was implemented, then we have interest rates, for example, on a credit card that will be 15%, and on the phone bill, it's only 2% a month.
Okay, so people a little bit of difference there.
Let me say that sharks are much more are very kind in the U.S. than banks are in Brazil. So the financial system works in a different way. And what happened is, by that change, by the virtue of that change, everything was ready and there was no problem in the partnership or anything in that area. However, the offer didn't make sense anymore because people then will not pay their bills on time.
What'd you do? What did you do? I mean, that sounds like, you know, a nice idea that was starting to fall apart. What'd you do?
Yeah, that particular one, that was a stopper. And that's another key point, knowing when and how to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you are just running like crazy and you will have a failure at the end. So having the local knowledge and being able to recognize the changes in a very specific time or in a regulation that will make that particular business that sounded fantastic at the beginning mm-hmm. is no longer viable, and changing accordingly is also a key part of the strategy.
I like the idea that you need to know when and how to stop, and I'm going to go back to Vin for a minute. And I'll share an example from myself. I have found that if people don't spell out, like, almost the acceptable ratios that they're going to follow, they'll move within some parameters, a range. And any time they go beyond those parameters, like of profitability or how fast it is or isn't going or whatever it was, they have an emergency meeting and they say, we got to talk, because they can revisit, should we continue or kill it? Vin, do you have some techniques that you've seen where, you know, you're dealing with a volatile situation like regulations, cultural, technology, economy, and it starts to, you know, feel real different than what you thought it was going to be? Do you have some techniques that work when it feels like that?
Yes. The first thing is to basically step back and say, the world has changed. We need to, as Fernando was saying, we need to focus now on, is that change going to be viable, not only for ourselves, but for our clients, in order to do business the way we did? And in this kind of a partnership relationship, it's very critical that you have that built into your process for working these kinds of issues through.
I had a client one time that they had a deal, something like what you're talking about, Fernando, and, you know, the interest rates made it untenable. But they didn't just walk away. What they did is they noticed that they had some momentum and visibility and a like a customer base, a database from the premise they've been working on. They were able to sell the contacts and all the momentum that they've made, walk from the deal as it was, but they still made some money on it. You know, sometimes you can still get some money from something that fell apart.
Well, that's true. Yes, Aldana,
that
is true. But I think the key thing is that you have to have an early warning system built in on both sides when you see this thing going, so that both of you aren't continuing to make investments that are not going to be a payoff, because as we talked about earlier, there's a big cost. But on the other side, if you can make, as they say, lemonade out of lemons, then that's a good thing, too.
Yeah.
You know,
if the people haven't worked on what the acceptable ratios are, I find that there's some yelling and screaming in an international scale strategic partnerships, and that's a bad sign. That means, you know, wait a second, if it's their self-interest have not been spelled out enough.
Yes, exactly. And the other side is that gets into the whole conflict resolution and conflict management. You know, how are you going to do that? And then how are you going to avoid, you know, these speed bumps along the way?
All right, so Fernando, we want to hear, you know, you must have had some screaming and yelling when people thought they were going to make money and they ponied up a bunch and now the interest rates are bad. And what did you do to keep people from screaming and hollering at each other?
Yes, because on top of all that, we need to really relate to the fact that doing business internationally, although it is a very nice thing, on top of all the complexities that we have when we have a partnership that's a domestic partnership, we have different rules, different laws, different regulations. Yeah. And to that sense, sometimes if you don't have someone that has a knowledge of both sides in terms of culture and expectations, as Vin well said, then you have a problem because you will not have the early warning system and people will not, they will just be finger pointing one way to the other. That, first of all, doesn't solve the problem, mm-hmm. doesn't address the new problem that just arrived, yeah. and then it's a major failure. So in that particular case, it is a case where the best decision, the best alternative available at the moment was let's stop operation and see how it gets.
Well, you know, that's another argument for having the clear facilitator, and I like them being objective. If they're only from one of the companies, they're going to be biased towards, you know, that side of the premise and who gets the money. I think having an independent person who can keep it moving because they, it's like a win-win and they protect everybody involved. It makes a lot of sense. It's like a mediator or, you know, a divorce counselor. It matters.
Yes, Aldana, just to break in, I facilitated a session between some IBM executives and a business partner,
mm-hmm.
and that was one of the areas that we focused in on when I did the interviews on both sides. And what I found was that there was some misunderstanding mm-hmm. about what each was going to do in a very critical situation where the business wasn't coming in the way we both were anticipating.
It's inevitable.
Yeah, it was inevitable. And so what we did is we put together a specific two-day session focusing in on how we're going to recover and could we recover, and then what were the investments that were necessary to make, and then what compromises and other things needed to be done on both parties. So
again, you know, if you didn't think big enough and, you know, multi-millions on an international scale, it wouldn't have been worth the 2 days to address it.
Exactly.
Fernando, I want you to, you know, before we go to break, tell us a little bit about the implementation of SAP on mobile devices. Just, you know, give us a hint so that people stick around for the next segment for you to talk about it.
Yes. That particular project, and specifically the problem was not necessarily the technology, but the how things need to be done in order to address a corporation that by its nature spin across several countries, and what's how to implement that in the best way possible.
Yeah. Wow. Well, now we're going to talk about that example because that's real current, right? You're in the middle of this. It's not all done yet, right?
No, it's still going.
Okay, so that gives everybody the reason to come back. We're going to be talking about an ongoing process to implement SAP on mobile devices, multiple companies involved. So you want to hear this. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Talk about his money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
money, money. Up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and each week we rotate through different growth strategies, and this week we're looking at growing internationally through strategic partnering. And I have two guests on the line this week. I have Vin Izzy, who's an independent consultant now. He's been a long time with IBM and understands and facilitates strategic partnering. And Fernando Neves, and this is an independent guy who can help, who's participated in so many partnerships. I don't even know how many. Fernando, how many has it been?
Right now, I already have 15 partnerships.
You're a serial entrepreneur, that's what you are. All right, so you're in Brazil, and so one of your partnerships you're participating in, the goal is to implement SAP systems on mobile devices. So now, which companies are involved? Who are we talking about?
Well, I cannot disclose the name of the specific customer right now. However,
so is it a big company or a little company?
Yes, it is a big company. Well, most of the companies implementing and deploying SAP are big companies.
Yes.
The name of the player is Isaac7.
Okay.
That's a company based out of Germany, as you would expect with someone playing with SAP.
Yeah.
And the project is to deploy the mobilization of SAP through different devices all over Latin America. Latin America being defined as Mexico, Central America, Caribbean area, and all South America, where they have manufacturer plants and also sales offices. So the
How exciting. I mean, you're right on the cutting edge here. That's great. Okay, now here's the test. Regulations are going to change, cultural issues are going to be involved, technology is going to shift, blah, blah. All right, give us some hints. What kind of things have been happening?
Well, all of the above. And it depends on the country, because then you need to centralize this, and there are the trivial problems on technology that everyone faces on a day-by-day basis. But when you go mobile devices, you need to understand that the major platform selected was BlackBerry.
Okay.
However, because it offers all the security and all the things. However, in some countries, BlackBerry is not available yet.
Yeah.
So you need to go with Windows Mobile. And for some top executives that could have the specific desire, they have iPhones.
Yeah.
So you need to cross those technology boundaries, and the problem is
this sounds expensive.
When you compare to the cost of not having the solution, it is not expensive.
True.
Because keep in mind that approvals on SAP, if the executive is flying from South America to China, and you will need to wait until that particular person is able to connect his notebook through the VPN to the main office to approve something, that could be a very high price tag.
You're totally right. I mean, the wait time for decisions is expensive, and so if this shrinks that by, you know, percentages, oh my goodness, that's huge. So this deal was set up with that as the premise. What's changed? Has it been regulations, economy, what, or everything?
Yes. Some of the
so how
changes
have you been handling it?
Yeah. We set up a council that has also mobility. So there is an election on the process, meaning we do have 3 out of 5. So there are 5 people that are enrolled for every single approval process, and depending on the amount that needs to be approved, 3 of those 5 are okay. Mm-hmm. By doing that, and it's a simple measure that was approved by the board, we are able to guarantee that people, even when they are traveling and they are mobile, mm-hmm. I always have three of them approving within the time that was set. For each specific process. So that was a big saving in terms of that allowed the mobility to be used in a very effective way.
That makes sense. Now, how many times do you have to have the council meet or convene? Is that once a week, once a month? What? How often?
Oh, no, no, no. That's the beauty. It's like the council is always deciding because the council can see the previous approval or the question on the mobile device and take the action right there.
Okay, so they're fairly liquid. It's like all the time.
Yes.
Now that's exciting. Right there,
yeah,
that's
because
a change.
That changed the concept of working hours,
yeah.
Specifically because people are not working on the same time frame. So then you can really have working around the clock. So if someone is in Singapore and someone is in New York and they are approving, that approval is being routed through the SAP system to the mobile device, coming back with security and all the things, and also help to adapt quickly to this particular scenario where things are changing, but not on a predictable way. Certain times when there is no crisis or things like that, okay, we expect the petroleum prices to go up. Okay, good. So everyone is expecting that. The problem is when, guess what? It went down. Now what we do? So those answers to quickly and unexpected changes in the scenario, in the economy, or in the regulation or laws or things like that, that's when the mobility part plays a very nice role because the person could be in the airport,
right.
See something on the CNN or in the news, have the device ready, take a look, take a decision, make a call, and can take action in terms of data. That's the main point.
One of the things I like about what you're saying is the way you're managing the strategic partnership is consistent with the product that you're trying to create together. That, you know, you have a fluid decision-making style for a product that's helping fluidity. That's pretty powerful.
Yep.
Now, what's been
yes.
the most challenging thing that's happened in this process? Because it sounds like a big deal that you're working on. What's the most
yes,
difficult
it is.
Part?
The first barrier or the first challenge was the technology, and then that's where the part of Isaac 7 come handy and did help us to cross the boundaries, because most of the times you only have a player that has a solution for BlackBerries. The other one has solutions for iPhone. The third one has only for the third platform, that's Windows Mobile.
Yep.
Having a player that can allow you to communicate no matter what platform is being used, mm-hmm. This is also important when you acquire companies, because right now we have the peace of mind that we don't care what technology they are using. We have a flexible platform that can allow us to interact and collaborate with that particular platform. So
it's exciting. I want to see this work. When you have this thing, you know, up and running, man, I've got some clients that are going to want to do it. Now, Vin,
okay.
I was thinking as you listen to this, you know, there's been times you've been in deals and I've been in deals where the technology premise changed. And like what Fernando's saying, okay, wait a second, it's not compatible. We've got to find somebody. What do you do when there isn't a good technology solution? No one company does provide the answer that the Isaac 7 did for them. What do you propose people do when that happens? They get that impact.
Well, yeah, most of the time what will happen in that decision process is whoever is stronger, larger, more expensive will win.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so we are dropping this technology. We will not support this or that. And by the way, from now on, the standard is this. And again, people and companies are living with this. The problem is when you go, and sometimes when you are in the middle of the deal, there are so many other things that are important, or people can create barriers because they want to protect their jobs, or they prefer this in technology, or there are other items in the agenda that you're not familiar with. So sometimes those details or those aspects are the ones that you will be spending time, and those are not the critical aspects for the business.
Yep. And I've definitely seen some deals fall apart because the big guy was expecting that they were going to make a lot of money applying their existing technology, and then if it wasn't enough, the deal falls apart. Mm-hmm. And if they had a facilitator that's saying that we're focused on the solution, the technology solution, they have mm-hmm. enough nerve to stand up to somebody who's being a little too stubborn and self-serving.
Yes, and sometimes people just, I'll not say this is true all the time, but sometimes people create problems.
Right.
And we are in the business of making friends and solving problems.
Yep.
So that's the case where, okay, you just ask which technology people are using.
Right.
And most of the time, especially on the mobile field right now, there are answers for that. But whenever it comes a situation where you don't have that particular solution, then you need to choose, you need to compromise and choose which one will present the best alternative for the case.
Right.
And as Vin said, there is a series of interviews and best practices collected in the field that allow us to define what the best solution for the case is.
I can hear listening to you, Fernando, that some of this is around an attitude. You have a can-do attitude, and you like keeping things moving. Vin, can you
yep.
hear it? I mean, just in how he talks, it's really clear, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, you know, to the point that both of you made is that if you're in a situation where you can only go right now to one platform, but you both agree that you want to move in that direction, but that you have to have a path to expand that in recognition that your competitors are going to do that, or that the companies that you're dealing with are going to need that capability to be across multiple platforms.
And it might be too expensive to work in parallel.
Yeah, so that's the other piece that you got to take a step back. So to what Frina was saying, you got to choose the right one
yeah.
based upon who it is that you're trying to serve. That's one side of it. Then the second side of it is, do you have the wherewithal and financial capabilities to move in the path of broadening out your appeal by using in multiple platforms.
One of my clients who was in the middle of something like this, they ended up going through an acquisition right in the middle because they didn't have the scale to keep up with the technology that was involved in what you're talking about.
Yes.
And that way they could bulk up. I got to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to make sure that we kind of summarize some of the key learnings from what you guys have been talking about, because these are good examples. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desk, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Sell, buy, sell. All media. talk about is money. Talk to an expert. Call now. Call now. Toll free 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about expanding your business on an international basis through strategic partnering. And I've had two wonderful guests, and we're going to continue for a few minutes. Vin Izzy, I met through IBM, and he's an independent consultant now facilitating strategic partnering, and he's really great with relationship building. And so I just want you to have his contact information. Let's start there. Vin, if someone wants to reach you and talk with you about this, how do they reach you?
Number one, by email, Vin Izzy, I-Z-Z-I, 45 at gmail.com, or my office phone, which is 239-394-6890, or my cell phone, which is 239-404-4415.
And either. Fernando Neves has been on our line with us, too, and but I love the examples of you, the serial strategic partnering guy. And the examples of what you've been doing are also state-of-the-art, you know, the idea of making sure cars can get sold in Brazil and making sure people can pay online and deal with the changing interest rates and making sure that we can get SAP on our mobile devices. You know, yeah, Fernando, that's cool. All right, so you're out there doing all this nifty stuff. If someone wants to reach you, where do they call? Where do they go?
Well, the easiest way will be via email. That's fnr@gaia.inf.br.
Okay.
And also via phone, the local phone in the U.S. will be 408-884-7128.
And the international, you want to do your cell phone number or what? Because a lot of the listeners are all over the world, Fernando.
The beauty of that is like the domestic number will route through VoIP and will get me whenever I am at the local cost for the caller.
Yay, voice over IP. And if people know my name, that's easy to get me. It's aldana@ambler.com, A-L-D-O-N-N-A at A-M-B-L-E-R.com. And the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-ALDANA, because I own multiple businesses, so I had six numbers. And so if you're dealing directly with me, that's the number you get. So I want to make sure we wrap this up and point out some of the keys to this. Fernando, one of the key things I hear you saying is when you're dealing with an international scale, change will happen on a day-to-day basis. Just you got to go with the flow. Am I picking up on one of the key things that you've learned?
Yes, and on top of that, changes will not follow what we expect.
Mm-hmm.
That could be regulatory, or things that are simply illegal in the U.S. are not in different countries. Mm-hmm. And that's what brings surprise and all like, oh, now what we do?
Yep.
And if you don't plan on the due diligence and how to make business in a particular country, this is where local knowledge comes to place. Otherwise, you're setting yourself for failure or at least for a lot of headaches that you don't really need.
And a lot of what I can hear from you is you're going to have to expect some compromise, but focus on solving problems, keep your process fluid, have some early warning signs of when it's not, matching what you thought, so that you can have some clear go, no-go decisions, because sometimes the best decision is to kill a deal. Those are the kind of things you're talking about because you do expect. And the last thing I can hear, and see if I've heard it right, it's almost like you're telling people to leave their ego at the door. We know you're smart. We know you're good at technology. But the key attribute to have in this process is to be able to shift and change, not to be rigid. Am I hearing you right?
Yes, and specifically and especially, you will need to trust someone on the other side.
What a great segue, because the trust issue, Vin, if I were to kind of paraphrase back what you've been suggesting, is things like, and Fernando had said it too, create the council, but the idea of having a facilitator that helps you with due diligence that may take you like 3 months, but to truly look at, do you have a fit between you know, the win-win of the agreement and the premise and the style of the organization, so that you at least have a reasonable start point, because it will change once you say, let's do this. Am I hearing you right?
Yes, absolutely. I think Fernando pointed out what we've all learned, and from my own research going back and talking to the partners that I've worked with, and the one single area that they focus in on is trust.
Yep.
You know, they say that, you know, we've done all the work that Fernando said, the financials are all been worked out and everything else like that, but do we trust the other partner? Do they keep the client in mind? We don't want to get the client between us. And that's very critical.
And I would pick up a few things that I've used with my clients have been that six-meeting process of, if you can't come up with a reasonable deal within about six meetings over a couple of months, you've got another issue. You've got something in the trust side of things that's interfering, not the technology.
Yes, and that's why I was saying that 30, 60, 90-day plan where you have specific actionable items that you've identified in that period of time, if they're not coming through with those and they don't have a reasonable plan as to how they're going to recover, then you've got to ask yourself, is this a partner that you can trust to get things done when you're really in the middle of a major deal, as Fernando was saying, that could have some other issues? And how are you going to work those out if they're much more complex than the ones you're working on right now, just to get the business going?
So if I picked a final word for us, because we need to wrap up, is transparency. I can hear that. You need transparent process, transparent trust, covert communications, and it's not going to be what you thought, but it's okay, as long as you don't have something hidden that you're going to go, wait a minute, you could have, should have told us. My wish for the people listening, as it is for every week, is accelerated growth with sustained profitability. And remember, the secret to that is to reverse the phrase. You first need to know what drives your profitability, and transparency might be one of the things that drives your profitability. Make sure you can sustain it. Then look for your growth strategy, like the strategic partnerships on an international basis, and step on the gas, because the things around you, like regulations, cultural, technology, economy, they're moving fast, so we need to. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambley, thanking my guests, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.